Welcome to Velocity Radio. Stone Payton, J.R. McNair, and Lee Cantor here with you this afternoon. This is going to be a fantastic segment. We got a studio full. I am so excited about getting this off the ground. Welcome, Mr. J.R. McNair.
Thanks so much, Stone. Listen, I'm excited to be here with you and Lee and all the rest of the crew today. We're going to have a good time. Get everybody tuned in. What do you think about that, Lee?
I'm excited. I was excited. Now I'm more excited. There we go. And you got a full house for the first episode. It's going to be an exciting adventure we're all on.
Well, you know what? We wanted to make sure when we when I did this particular show on the studio that I got some people in here that some people that I've known for a while, some people that I met recently, but just some people that I thought had varied aspects of their business that are really doing some impactful things in the Atlanta area. And I just wanted to talk about them.
Yeah, and I think it shows kind of a 360 view of business in Atlanta. So they touch on a bunch of different facets of Atlanta.
Yeah, totally. I mean, you know, Atlanta is a little bit of everything. It's a, I wouldn't say a hodgepodge, but it's got a little bit of everything from all different aspects and regions and different industries. And I think all of these guests have, with their background and their experience, just have a great, great look into a snapshot of the city. So,
and who'd you bring with you today?
Well, I have with me Lisa Lede Davis of Kennesaw CPA.
Hello, hello, hello.
Welcome.
Yes, yes. And I have Mr. Kenneth Igwe of Baker Collins.
Good afternoon, guys.
Yes. And last but not least, I have Ms. Jacqueline Waller of Standing Room Events.
Good afternoon.
Yes, most definitely.
All right. So who do you want to kick off the show with?
We're going to kick off the show with Lisa. I'm gonna I'm excited for everybody, and I'm gonna talk about even more while I'm even excited about Lisa towards the end of her segment. But you know, I've known Lisa now for some years, and we have had an opportunity to help a lot of small businesses and companies, organizations all throughout the pretty much the Southeast. It's not just in Atlanta. So, and I wanted to kind of just bring Lisa on. She's somebody that I trust in the space for what she does in the financial, more of the consultative financial analysis and CPA work that she does. Lisa is did a ton of stuff in actually Omaha. And so, Lisa, I'm going to stop talking for a little bit. I just want to tell them, like, because your background, you're from Louisiana, you were in Omaha, now you're in Atlanta. Like, how did that happen?
Well, it is a bit of a journey. I actually went from Louisiana to Atlanta. I was here a couple of years when the Olympics was here. Mm-hmm. And so I was here for a couple of years, spent about 15 years in the Midwest in Omaha, Nebraska, and then back to Georgia again the last 4 to 5 years. So I'm excited to be back.
Yeah. You know, we're excited for you to be back, and you've launched, one of the fastest growing CPA firms in Metro Atlanta, Kennesaw CPA. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Well, you know, that was exciting that when I came back here, most of my career, I've worked with small to medium sized businesses. I've been a CPA for over 20 years and worked in the insurance industry and the risk management industry. And, even one of the companies we were with was recognized by SBA as being a champion for small businesses. So I knew I wanted to continue that work with small to medium sized businesses and helping to the success of those businesses, because the solopreneurs, the entrepreneurs, the small business owners, that's the way the future. That's where we're going as far as the development in our economy here, and we want to kind of contribute to that success. So it was really exciting to start Kennesaw CPA, especially here in the Atlanta metro area, and then give an opportunity to put some services in place, some tools in place that's going to help those business owners be successful.
Most definitely. And you said some services and tools. Now, I want you to talk about, because you had an opportunity also to go through our accelerator, Velocity, last year, and it was phenomenal. And in that, you were able to develop a new business, but also a great tool. Could you talk about what that tool is?
You know, one of the things we did when we worked with your accelerator program is that we knew some of the problems and the issues that business owners faced as far as not having enough time, money, resources, wearing multiple hats. We're going, what can we put in place to kind of alleviate some of that pressure? We can't be everything to everyone. So, but we know we can be strong in that financial aspect or the financial management aspect. So that's when we developed the tax guide. And while the name is the tax guide, it's so much more than just tax services and tax planning. We actually put in place a subscription-based service that's effective and affordable for small business owners. It allows them to pay a monthly fee and have unlimited access to an accounting team, consultant, to be able to implement the things that's needed in their business, like budgeting, planning. And then when all that is said and done, they still have the tax preparation at the end of the year that's automatically included. They have the accounting software that's just instrumental to the success of the management of their business. That's automatically covered in the software. We help them get set up. We make sure that they're managing their business financially all year long. And then at the end of the year and even quarterly, we're able to do effective tax planning with them to make sure that they're paying minimal taxes and making the best use of their business funds.
That is awesome. You know, one before the show, I was talking with Jacqueline. I was telling her about Legal Shield. They have a membership every month where you pay and you get you can call in two attorneys and things like that. But this is with nothing against attorneys, but you know, I would be pressed, you know, to make sure I have somebody that I can call every time about my financial problems.
You know, and that's one of the things that we encourage when we first start working with a business owner is make sure you have that team of trusted advisors around you. There should include some legal, there should be some marketing, there should be some accounting. But what we put in place by having that program is the access to sit down. We tell everyone you should always manage your company financially each month. But you should also meet and minimally with your trusted advisors quarterly to get that outside input on what's going on with your business, making sure you're getting the information to make the right decisions with your business, to be mobile, to be nimble, to make those adjustments, to put the best practices in place when it comes to your financials, and then make the decisions that's going to impact your tax ultimately. So, yeah.
Most definitely. So, and over the 20 years, because you've been doing CPA work for 20 years, right?
Yes.
And so over that 20 years, you've seen a ton of companies, right?
We have. We have. We've seen some succeed. We've seen some fail. What we try to learn is a lesson from each one of those engagements to figure out how we can help make the next company better every time.
So I know probably this is one of the biggest questions you probably get in your space because you've seen so many businesses over this 20 years. What, you know, and we know over a 15-year period that 90%, 80 to 90% of small businesses fail within that time frame. So if they started out as 100 businesses, only 10 to 20 of them are left at the end of that time. What have you seen has been a couple of problems or maybe a number one thing that you've seen that's caused the demise of those companies?
I think if you look at the national data when they talk about those statistics and how businesses succeed or fail, if you look at the top five reasons, at least three of them are going to be financial related.
Okay.
And so that was why we stayed with that focus of financial management of the business. But even beyond that, I think a lot of it has to do with, again, the team, the advisors that they put in place. It's very difficult when you start a business and you're kind of a one-man show and you're wearing all these hats and you're having to be an expert in so many areas. Having those teams of different experts in different places that will help you make those decisions and help you identify some of the issues early on so you can be proactive instead of reactive, making sure you have the appropriate cash flow, knowing when your business is going to break even, when does it need resources or capital, when it doesn't. Just having those planning processes in place is going to it's going to take that business a lot further in their chances of success.
Okay, definitely. And so if we're looking at just all the different you have cash flow statements and all of what would be a main tool or something, a financial statement that I as a business owner, that any business owner should look at first if they're a small business and they're running, what would be that one thing that they need to be keeping their eyes on consistently?
You know, it's hard to narrow it down to one thing because they're going to need all those financials at some point in the process, be that the income statement, so known as the profit and loss or the balance sheet. But when it comes to managing your business and planning and budgeting, there's nothing like the cash flow statement to take your business, know what your future is going to look like on a 1 year basis, a 3 year basis, a 5 year basis. We even tell people, make a 20-year plan. The 20-year plan doesn't have to have detailed financials, but you need to know where you're going with your business, what your ultimate goal is, and what you want to be, because it'll affect so many decisions along the way. But definitely having that cash flow tool that you can manage and compare your actual operations to the planned operations and do that comparison each month to see where you're falling short, see where you need to make adjustment, any changes in your marketing plan, your spending, knowing where your dollars are going. That is key for a business, is cash flow. So using that on an ongoing basis in the planning with your business.
And, you know, speaking about planning, your business has just, you know, I believe it's exploded over the time that it's been here in Atlanta. When you've opened up this operation here, where do you see yourself over the next few years, over the next 4 or 5 years, just from a, you know, what success? What does that success look like?
Now you really put me on the spot there. You know, it's hard to say. I'm very hands-on, which is sometimes my downfall, because I want to be so engaged and involved in the process.
Sure.
So it's really what every other small business owner struggles with, is figuring out how to scale my business to help the most people that we can, but still having the resources in place, the quality of service. So that's what we're building. We're looking at different options as far as technology, different recommendations and processes we can put in place so we can help more people, but still maintain the same quality of service that we started with, being with that one-on-one service.
Most definitely. Because I'm going to tell you, like, you know, the biggest thing, I refer almost everybody I know to, you know, and I do that because, you know, there were not a lot of people that are in this space that understand not all accountants or CPAs are created equal, right? And, you know, you just think that if people, they come in the space, oh, I have a CPA, I have somebody that does my taxes, but it's like, they might not have that information. One of the things that I love about you is that you have a breadth of knowledge, because I've trained lawyers, accountants, people over the years, and I'm like, man, you know, they should understand some of these basic fundamentals. And that's one of the things that, you know, how did you come out of school having that information, or is it something that you developed in time? I mean, what's the difference? What made you be different than some of these other accountants that I run into on a consistent basis?
You know, I think it's because when I first got started, I started my career in tax and audit and all those other things. But when I got to the middle part of my career, I focused more on the risk management side.
Okay.
And it gave me a different aspect of helping with the small business. So with risk management, we actually worked with small businesses. We did a couple of different programs. One was insurance based, where we look at the different risk and exposures associated with a business and how to properly manage that, either through insurance or financial management of it. But another aspect is, we used to work with small and disadvantaged contractors, helping them get and bid on work with public officials and city and counties and things like that. So working one-on-one with those individuals that, you know, some of them are one-man show, some of them had, you know, 10 contractors on staff, and looking at the different challenges they're faced, not just on the financial side, but just throughout their business, and then coming up with solutions put in place that help them be able to get bid that work, successfully complete that work, and then make it profitable for them, and watching all those challenges. So I think it's just kind of the breadth of a variety of experiences that I've had over the 20 years.
Okay. Okay. And so in that, I want you to answer two questions for me. Number one, what is the biggest thing you think you did in your business that has really like helped push it to the next level? And then what was the one thing in your business that probably was, hey, you know, maybe one of your biggest mistakes?
I'll start with my biggest mistake. I think one of my biggest mistakes was the waiting to get this piece started.
Yeah.
I wish I would have started this 10 years ago, because there's no telling where we would have been and just the impact we could have made doing that.
That's right.
So one of my biggest mistakes was just not getting started sooner. And then, as far as, you know, what we recognize as the biggest gain, I think, you know, one of our, most admirable moments is when we got recognized by the Small Business Administration as being a champion for small businesses. I mean, that is our goal. That is what we want to impact. I mean, I'd like to say, you know, 20 years from now, that we're talking in the millions of numbers of businesses that we've impacted in their success and the future of their business, just by the programs and the software and the tools that we've put in place.
Well, you know what? you know, I kind of cheered up some when you said the billions. Because
I had to say millions, because if I say thousands, you'd fall out of your chair.
Right. Because, you know, we always talk about going bigger, better, reaching, you know, changing the world. And that's one of the things. And I love that you are in a position now, because a lot of people have the passion but don't have the capacity to fulfill. Because you might have all the passion in the world to want to help people, but you just don't have the infrastructure or the capacity to even fulfill upon maybe that large vision that you have. Yeah, so I think that's great. And, you know, one of the things I wanted to say, I think it's good to talk about it now. This kind of leads into really this next phase of Lisa, of Kennesaw CPA, of the tax guide and everything, is the show that you're going to be launching next week, right?
Well, that's how we're going to start that journey to being able to help millions of businesses, is that we're going to focus on highlighting and spotlighting businesses in Georgia, businesses nationally, offering resources. I'm really excited about that opportunity to be able to work one-on-one with so many businesses.
Well, tell me a little bit about, tell me the name of the show, and tell me what you're going to be talking about in the show.
Well, right now I think we're going to call it the Georgia Small Business Financial Hour.
Okay.
And what we're going to do is we're going to talk to local businesses. We're going to talk about some of their challenges. We're going to talk about some recommendations that we have for them right there on the show, some of the tools that are out there, technology, things that they can put in place that will help their business. And then just from the feedback that we're getting, talk about the development of things that can be put in place to help businesses in the future as well.
Most definitely. Most definitely. So who would be a good ideal guest to come on your show?
You know, one of the things I really like working with is businesses that have been in business, say, about 3 and 5 years. Mm-hmm. And when you start off as a small business, you know, you start off usually as the one-man show. You've grown your team. You've gotten there. But now you're having that challenge of getting to the next level or scaling that business. And that's where you can really see the impact of some of the tools and the trades and things that we can put in place. So we'd like to talk to those businesses that are at that stage.
Well, listen, I'm excited and I'm ready for you to do it. And, I know you're going to tear it up. And, I know Lee, tell me what you think about that, Lee.
Well, I think it was right on point. And like you said, all CPAs aren't created equal. There are some that care more, that do more, and that serve more. And Lisa, you're a great example of that.
Thank you.
Now, if somebody wanted to learn more about your practice, is there a website?
Sure. They should visit www.kennesawcpa.com, or they can go to thetaxguide.com. Either website will direct you. You'll get information, direct you to our email address, phone number, address, all of that information.
Good stuff. Well, congratulations for all the success.
All right. Thank you.
Most definitely. Well, listen, you know, we're going to keep this train rolling and keep it going. And I'm so excited to talk to our next guest, because it's kind of a direct lead in, you know, you setting up the foundation of your business, making sure your business is right. But one of the biggest indicators over my career as a consultant, the thing that I've seen that people have always asked, the number one thing is, hey, how do I get money? How do I get funding? You know, it's like, I need money. And so, and you know, I had the opportunity to meet Kenneth at Corey Moore's event. Corey does a lot of events in Atlanta, and I always try to come and support. And Kenneth, as soon as I walked in the door, and Corey said, listen, I need you to meet this guy. and so he walks me over there, and I say, okay. And I understood it within the first couple minutes why he wanted us to introduce Kenneth Igwe of Baker Collins. And they do some amazing work. Kenneth, tell the audience what you do and why you do it.
Sure. So we are a private money lender for real estate investors. We finance residential as well as commercial real estate investors all over the Southeast. And as of November 1st, all over the next 41 states.
Wow.
We realized that a lot of folks were having very challenging times trying to access the capital markets. And so we decided to kind of put a forum together to allow individuals to kind of take advantage of that. So on the residential side, we're the guys who will finance the renovation projects, the new construction projects, the properties where folks want to actually hold on to them, as well as lines of credit for some very experienced investors. On the commercial side, we'll finance office buildings, retail buildings, industrial parks, as well as hospitality, aka hotels. as well. And so we created it because a lot of individuals were essentially having those challenges trying to kind of figure out who do they find or how do they access the capital? Because that's one of the most intimidating things as far as getting into real estate investing. Where do you find the money? How do you go about doing this? And so I think that's one of the reasons. That's why Baker Columns was born as well.
I was telling you the first time I love that name, Baker Columns. It just it sounds like it's been out for about 50 years, maybe 100 years.
Well, you know, we haven't been out around that long. Yeah, we started back in 2015.
Okay.
It was actually born because it was the name of two of my college professors. They passed on now and allowed me to kind of really think bigger about, just doing bigger deals and think about, I fell in love with finance when I went through their classes. And so I just kind of wanted to give homage to them. And that's how it kind of came about as well.
Speaking of professors, was this at Harvard or was this at where tell me about where you went to school at and
sure.
The different schools that you went to.
So I was supposed to be a doctor. That didn't work out well because I didn't like the sight of blood.
Okay.
So, you know, I was always good at math. So kind of segued into engineering. I came here, did a dual degree with at Morehouse College in Atlanta, Georgia Tech, got a math degree at Morehouse, got an electrical engineering degree at Georgia Tech. Ultimately kind of found my way into finance. I actually love, I love real estate. And I love finance. I was trying to figure out how do I kind of intersect the two. And so I ended up as a commercial investment banker and did a master's degree at Harvard University as well. So these two professors were at Morehouse in Georgia Tech.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. So, so could you just briefly kind of touch on those two professors? And
Yeah. So one of them was an economics professor. I you know, as an engineering student, you know, I was always interested and really, really just intrigued as to how finance worked. And so they were able to kind of share with me books, about how finance works, such as The Creature Jekyll Island. They also shared with me books. They actually gave me the book, Robert Kiyosaki's Rich Dad, Poor Dad, which kind of really changed my mind and how I thought about how finance works and how just creation of wealth works as well. In addition to, they shared with me kind of one of the things you can really think about going into was real estate. And so here I was, a young 19, 20-year-old individual. I was destined to be a great engineer. And once I got into their classes, I was just like, you know what? I'm probably, obviously my first job out of college was with IBM, spent for about a year for there. And then from there, we decided to just start renovating some properties and renovated two properties 2 years out of college and never really looked back. Just been in real estate ever since from there as well.
That's amazing, man. You know, I don't know if you knew, I was a kid watching an infomercial when I was like 12. Mm-hmm. And then I had got a guy, his name was Russ Whitney, learned all this information from him. Mm-hmm. And I bought a piece of real estate when I was like 14. It wasn't a house. It was just a piece of land, but
that's
it was
impressive.
Yeah. It was some land in a gated community out in West Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And that's amazing, man. You know, real estate has produced more millionaires than any other profession on the planet.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about the field, you know, just in general.
Mm-hmm. Well, so one of the things, the reason why we do what we do is because we're looking to help investors create and preserve wealth through real estate investing. And so a lot of individuals will get into this business and they will try to create wealth, but then they tend to forget how to preserve wealth. So to preserve wealth, there are certain things that you need to do. We'll show them, okay, you definitely want to hire a CPA like Lisa. You want to hire a financial advisor. You want to hire those folks, but you also want to invest in other projects as well, such as long-term holds, maybe invest in a multifamily project. So our biggest source of revenue currently is fix and flips. We've all seen the shows on A&E. And HDTV, no promotion for those shows or anything of that sort. Again, I have a love. Let me not go into that. I like the fact that they are encouraging a ton of individuals to get into real estate investing, and they've been the catalyst to allow folks to start to believe I can do this. This is doable. Sometimes with some of those shows, they tend to give an unrealistic view as to how renovation goes.
Entertainment,
it's
right?
There's an entertainment value there. But I really encourage folks to get into this and learn more about it because it really allows folks to really change the trajectory of their family lineage if they can. Because now you can create a skill set that allows you to generate wealth and generate capital for you and your family. And also you can have multiple assets that allow you to keep generating passive income. So therefore you can really attain the American dream, which is what we all deem as well.
Most definitely.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm trying to get into real estate, mm-hmm. and if I come to you, do I need to already have real estate before I come to you?
Not at all.
Okay, so and then so I don't need to have, and so does my credit have to be like super good or it has to be really good?
Not necessarily. So okay. That's, again, one of the things that we do that really delineates us from other folks is we like to train and we like to make certain that our investors really understand what they're getting themselves into. So we actually will do, we have a shameless plug. We actually have, we trained a ton of investors. We have a free class and we also have a CE class.
Okay.
A continuing education class. And we tell people, this is what you need to do to get into real estate investing. You do not need to have perfect credit. You do not need to have a boatload of cash. You do not need to have a ton of experience. Although those things are great and those things are things that we would definitely see as a plus, they're not a requirement. And so one of the things we like to do is really dispel a lot of the myths and a lot of the false narratives that tend to surround our industry, because there are a lot of them. And so we want people to really understand how to go about using private money to acquire and maintain real estate assets.
That is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. So what is there a minimum in to get into it? Is there a max?
Sure. So I'm going to give you a very technical answer.
Okay.
It depends.
Okay.
And I find myself saying that a lot, especially I can say it in so many ways now. Yeah. Theoretically, possibly that may be the case. And so typically it depends on the institution that you go to. So for us, our minimum loan amount is $50,000.
Okay.
For residential. For residential, our maximum loan amount is $2.5 million. Now, as it relates to commercial, our minimum loan amount is $250,000, and our maximum loan amount is $25 million. So it really depends on the individual, their experience, their credit. We will take a look at those things, but it's not a requirement for them to start investing or start utilizing our capital for them as well.
Yeah, you know, and this is maybe a we have a container home business and we make shipping container homes. And so we have developers come to us all the time. As a matter of fact, we had a person just right outside the studio was saying, "Hey man, you know, I got approved for 300, hey, how can I get this going?" I mean, what kind of, you know, we thought that our number one audience base was going to be first time homebuyers, actually investors, developers. Mm-hmm. Why did you go after and that them being your primary audience base instead of, did it just happen or?
Well, I had a background in real estate and I had a background in finance. So it just kind of made sense to kind of connect the two and figure out, okay, how can I add the most value to investors? How can I add the most, what group of individuals or business owners can I add the most value to? Can we add the most value to? And so we identified it would be real estate investors who are looking to get into these projects, whether it was a renovation project or a new construction project or someone who wanted to hold on to an asset for an extended time frame. That's fine. But one of the things we like to do is really make certain that people get to understand what they're getting themselves into. Because at the end of the day, you are incurring debt. And if you're incurring debt, you have to be very knowledgeable about it. You have to understand the pros as well as the cons. You have to understand all the tenets around this particular transaction. And so we want people to understand that. But we felt that we could add the most value to individuals who are looking to get into a fix and flip or get into a rental loan or get into some type of asset they were looking to kind of hold on to as well.
Most definitely. So do you do a lot of speaking at different events or?
I have. This year I've done a good amount of speaking. I've been on a couple of shows as well. It's interesting and I love doing it because we really get to share with people what we do. This is kind of an esoteric industry, meaning that a lot of people are not familiar with what we do. They have a lot of misinformation and they don't even know that we exist. So we're the group that will actually finance the deals that the typical bank will not finance because of their risky deals. I mean, most banks, if you walk into, and they're all great institutions, Chase, Wells Fargo, Bank of America, all very venerable institutions, they will typically not finance a property that is dilapidated, needs a ton of work, and you're going to sell it for some price in the future that you really can't pinpoint yet. So that's a ton of risk for them. They want to lend money to projects that have limited risk, move-in ready, rent ready, things are going to give them a really good return on their investment now. We don't mind taking on that risk. So we will do those deals and we'll do them. These are the deals we do all day long in multiple markets also.
Wow. And so how does it typically work? I mean, could you walk us through like, you know, if I come today, how long that takes,
sure.
What, you know, the I don't know the average time that it takes to do that, or the percentages of approvals. Sure. So,
as it relates to renovation loans, we have to move very fast. In Atlanta, specifically to real estate investing, this is a hyper-competitive market. So you're not just competing with Atlanta investors, you're also competing with statewide investors as well as national investors, and we have a number of international clients. So we have to move with speed. We typically close our renovation loans within 10 to 14 days. We tend to get our borrowers qualified within 24 to 48 hours. If they have a property, we're going to get them out a proof of funds letter based off the information they provided to us. Once they provided that information to us, then they can go out and start shopping. If they can provide us with an executed contract plus a renovation budget that makes sense to us, we're going to go ahead and order the appraisal, inspection, title work, things of that sort. Our hope is all those items come back within maybe 3 to 5 days from the time that we've ordered it for us to be able to close within that 10 to 14 day time frame. So as it relates to 10 to renovation loans, we move really, really quickly because we have to. And we need our borrowers to be successful. It's not a want, it's a need. And because when we deploy capital, we have to make certain that we're deploying it to individuals who are properly educated as to how this process works. So yeah, that's kind of how we work in a nutshell for renovation loans. Now, for a rental scenario, it does take a little bit more time because we're looking at a little bit more information, but it's still a little faster than your traditional bank. And as a private money lender, we're pretty flexible with underwriting. So we're not looking at your income. We're not looking at your employment. A lot of our investors do not provide taxes. We don't necessarily need to see that. We base our decision on the strength of the deal. If the deal makes sense and if the borrower has can provide evidence of liquidity, that's the deal that we'll finance.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's amazing, man. You need to be everywhere. I'm talking about – I'm serious. I'm serious. I was speaking at the Savannah Real Estate, mm-hmm. The RIA down there, and the Real Estate Investors Association. That's one of the biggest things that everybody's looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Man, we need to definitely get you out there. And now you said you're in 41 states.
Correct.
And you have – cumulative experience of like 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little bit about that.
So here in Atlanta, we have 5 account executives.
Okay.
We have a processor, a couple of virtual assistants. We have a executive assistant in Atlanta, Houston. We have another office as well. And so between the mortgage brokers who work for us, the realtors, our directors and things of that sort, our partners, cumulatively we have about exceeding 100 years of experience.
Wow.
So there aren't a lot of deals that we have not taken a look at as it relates to private money, whether it's residential, whether it's commercial. I don't want to toot our own horn, but we've seen a lot, and it's rare if it's something that we feel that we can't do as well.
So I'm going to ask you the same question also.
Sure.
You know, in these years you've been in business and all these things, and, you know, with all your education background, and just from start to finish, it can be something in college, it can be something in your business. What has been the biggest mistake that you've made in your company or in life, you know, and then your biggest gain? I mean, your biggest success moment that you would say.
So I'm going to do exactly what Lisa did as far as starting with my mistakes. I didn't hire fast enough. One of the things we started off as a 2-person operation back in 2015, and we were doing okay. You know, it was a great time to be a real estate investor. It was a great time to be in lending. And we didn't realize that we could scale the business much faster if we would have put some pieces in place that allowed us to really scale and put certain processes and systems in place to allow us to do what we do now. So that's one of our biggest – I would say that's one of our biggest early on mistakes. One of my biggest successes, one of the company's biggest successes, was being able to be granted that CE accreditation. For us to teach people how to utilize private money in pretty much all over the state of Georgia, and we're working on getting that accreditation in other states, that's humongous to me. Because what that does is that lets people – we can now share with people how to do this correctly. We stay in our lane. We just lend money. We don't want to do anything else outside of that. We don't want to find a property for our borrowers. We don't want to show them how to dispossess of these properties. We just want to lend money, and we want to show them exactly how to go about doing it correctly. So to be able to offer that to realtors and individuals and show them how they can use renovation loans and rental projects and new construction projects, and really, especially for realtors, really expand their investor base and then expand their client base. To me, it was one of our biggest successes. And that's the first one I'll share with you. Another one, we were able to get into those 41 states now. So we've expanded our pool of capital. So therefore, we can deploy to more investors and help a lot of investors out also.
That's great. So mm-hmm. and now that you're in 41 states, mm-hmm. I mean, are you trying to expand in all the 50? Are you going to stay in the...
We're going to stay in the 50 for now. I mean, the 41, 41 for now.
Okay,
yeah,
okay,
yeah.
okay. Mm-hmm. And so over the next years, I mean, what's the... is this a national brand?
Yeah, yeah. So our goal is to have boots on the ground in pretty much 50% of the states that we lend in.
Okay.
And currently we have boots on the ground in Georgia and Texas. I'm originally from Houston, but the goal is to be able to be in at least 24 to 25 of those states within the next 5 years. You know, we're working towards that, and we're just kind of we're working on improving certain systems and processes to allow us to go about doing that. But currently we are able to lend in those 41 states.
That's great. Mm-hmm. So how can somebody find out about you or your company?
Sure. So they can go to our website, www.bakercollins.com, fairly simple. Again, it's www.bakercollins.com, or they can call our office at 770-988-4537.
Most definitely. Mm-hmm. That's great. So what you think? You need some money?
Now I know I got a guy. You know, yeah, everybody's got to have a guy.
Everybody's got to have that guy.
Or gal.
Yeah.
So who are you going to close the show with? Hey, who's the headliner?
We're gonna close it with Jackie. We had an opportunity to go get some grub at a was it Noodle in Atlanta. It was good.
It was good.
Got some noodles, right? So we're gonna have Miss Waller go ahead and talk to the wonderful people about her company, Standing Room Events. You know, we just had an opportunity to do that launch event last week in Buckhead, right?
Last Thursday at Dorku Sushi.
Yeah, yep. Most definitely. Tell me about, you know, let's talk a little bit about the launch and, you know, what your main objective of that was. And then I want you to just kind of get into really talking about the company and why you started it.
Okay. So we did the launch because we are Standing Room Events and we do marketing and event consulting. So what better way to launch our company except with a launch event, right?
Yeah.
And the goal was to invite some friends and prospective customers out to show them what we could do and for us to come together and network and have an opportunity just to really kind of introduce ourselves. We did some speaking from the event as well and taught about, marketing your events, hosting your events, and the best way to follow up after driving your brand.
Most definitely. So when you... I met you at one of our events.
Correct. And when you were hosting.
When I was hosting an event and you came in and you said, I help business owners, do events that, you know, they could have their own and pull. 'Cause that was the reason why I got into doing events when I started, because I was like, you know what? I have this information, but who knows? Nobody.
Right.
You know? So I said, and I went reaching out to different places and they were like, well, okay, well, come back next year or whatever. And I was like, because they didn't know me either. So I said, I'll do my own event.
Right.
And that's what got me in the event game. What was your story like?
So first of all, let me just say that I'm not an event planner, although I can put a business organized event together. But we help with the branding, marketing part of that, and then also the right way to put it together to drive clients into lifelong customers. But I started out a number of years ago with a company called Connecting Atlanta. So we have just like a group on Facebook, started a networking company, started networking events, and then always had like an educational person come out that I felt like could add value back to the business owners. And then we just ended up flipping it and we decided to do business workshops. 72 business workshops later, we put those together with bringing out speakers.
72.
72, yeah.
Okay, so
I put on 72.
That's a lot of events.
That's a lot of events. Yeah, we did about two a month, so that was marketing it. We partnered with companies like the SBA Score here in Atlanta, as well as Pro Networker, which is Corey Moore's company, and we would promote each other's events. So that was one of the biggest things I learned was partnering with other organizations that are like-minded businesses and be able to drive individuals back to yourself, and then also working with the right speakers that had nice marketing lists themselves and knew how to email their clients out. Well,
So why would I, as a customer, why should I put on events, or why is it important?
Well, what you had mentioned earlier was, there's a lot of CPAs, there's a lot of hard money lenders, there's a lot of banks, like financial institutions, whatever, real estate agents that there's, like, if you go onto Eventbrite, you'll see a ton of like home buying seminars, right? But why should I spend my time going, and how do I, A, know who to pick, and B, why should I spend my time going to learn what they have to say unless they're going to be having that added value? Like, he has education back for investors, right? And she does a lot of other high knowledge and helping out her clients, not just saying, okay, we'll do your accounting, but there's a lot of other added value that she adds back, right? Which is makes sense why you're going to do the radio show and so forth. So that's one of the reasons why people should do events, because it helps stand them out. And it also says, okay, if I come to your event, whether I come for free or I pay $10, $20, $200, whatever it is, I want to at least be able to walk away with three things that I can apply into my business. And it gives you the opportunity for people to just automatically assume that you're like an expert in your market. And as long as you follow that up with the right information and people feel good about what they heard and can apply it, then that's important.
Yeah, I had a one of my pastors, he said, you don't have to know everything. You just have to know more than they do. Right.
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 Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, and I knew that I wanted to be I wanted to help business owners out, but obviously I'm only an expert in one specific area, which is sales, marketing, and putting events on.
But that's a big area.
But I wasn't like an expert in finance and like all these other areas. So it was like, okay, let's bring out different people to come in and speak and be able to add value back to these business owners and hopefully help them take their businesses to the next level.
Most definitely. And she was saying something about Connecting Atlanta, and maybe she was being humble about it, but they have they have like almost 10,000 people in that group.
It was 7,200.
Yeah, 7,200. That's about 10,000. My mom used to say, anytime you spend over $65, $70, it's $100. So she's in a round up. But that's great. And then, you also do a lot of work, even like outside volunteer work with various places and support. Talk a little bit about that.
Okay. Well, I volunteered with a Busy Neighbor. That was a while ago, but volunteered with them. Sharmel, she's amazing. She had like kind of like connected businesses and stuff like that. But what she does now is she does a lot of stuff for the vets and helps them with their mental health and provides recreational facilities and does events for them as well. And then also the other one where I volunteered was with the Ahimsa House, and they're here in Atlanta. And it was a lady that herself was trying to get out of a domestic violence situation, and she had pets. So she realized that there's other women that may not leave a situation because of their animals. You know, their animals will be abused. So what the Ahimsa House does is they find foster homes for the pets, so these women can go and get their lives together and get situated and get their pets back. And that actually, my Gracie that I have, I got her. I've adopted her through there.
Oh wow, that's awesome! Yeah. That's awesome. So, who would be an ideal customer for you? Who is that customer that you say, you know what, this would be perfect for your business if?
a service provider, someone who is in finance, also real estate agents, and anyone that offers a service back to business owners and is looking to drive and grow their brand and create lifelong customers and become a customer magnet themselves.
Okay, that's great. That's great. And Lee, do y'all, you all are typically, you always at an event, doing something at an event?
Yeah, we go to a lot of events. A lot of times we're invited to do radio at events. We're going tomorrow night to the WIT Woman of the Year event and broadcasting live from the Georgia Aquarium. So we're at events all the time.
Yeah, exciting.
That, yeah, most definitely. That really has an opportunity to get the brand out and people.
Yeah, I mean, just yesterday, a CMO of a very large company asked us to be part of an event at TAG next year. We get constantly asked. I mean, being the media has its privileges, and a lot of events like to have a media element to add kind of something different to the event and also to create a lot of content for the organizers of the event that can help them give the event legs beyond that day of the event. So you can do interviews leading up to the event, you can do interviews at the event, and then you can do interviews after the event, recapping the event, so you can make the event last many days if you kind of plan your media correctly.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. And
can I say
something? Yeah, go for it. Go for it.
And then if you utilize that for also when you're doing events, so a couple of things so kind of triggered what he was saying. Triggered in a good way, and is that you have the opportunity when you are doing your events to also, you can live stream them, right? So even mm-hmm. when you're doing your radio show for your own personal radio show or your event or both, you can live stream that on social media, LinkedIn, Facebook, whatever, and then you have your person edit it and cut it up, and then you can create additional streams on social media so you can cut up your radio show, your video, whatever. And then what that does is that is an added way after the event is over with to help drive your brand even more and make it last. Cause now you aren't just a business expert, an expert leader at that event, but now you are continuously that, right? And so if other people want to either have your radio show at their place of business, or if someone wanting to hire you, you have added content that's going to be able to help drive who you are and get you known.
Most definitely. What's an average like starting point? I mean, can they come to you saying, "Hey, look, I got $500. I need some help."
Yeah.
They won't get
a lot of help.
They won't get a lot of help, right?
No, that's not true. They can go to my website, standingroomevents.com, standingroomevents.com, and they'll be able to see my packages. But we actually do have a package on there that will give them a nice amount of help for $499. And then we can put the event on for them, or we can do just their marketing for it, right? And drive their ideal avatar to them.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I like, that with Standing Room Events, you can get it a la carte or you can get it as one package, you know,
right?
Because even from the point of developing an event, you know, branding the event, developing the event, putting the event on, marketing for the event, I mean, that's a lot of work. You know, I put on events, so I know how much work it is. So if it's something where you can say, "Hey, I just want to show up," you
right.
handle that.
Right. And they have to be confident in knowing that if you know, if they're charging for it, great. They can get their money back that way, or have vendors, or, you know, whatever it is. But, if they're not going to do that and they just want to speak from the event, just be confident if you're going to pay someone like myself to know that you're going to be able to close at least a couple of accounts. You know, that's the biggest thing, because you always want to make your money back somehow.
That is correct.
Now, it's not my responsibility to help them close. I can only provide them with everything that they need. But they have to do the job from the stand.
But yeah, but just making sure that they have that on top of mind, you know, because that was something Kenneth was just talking about. It's just knowing those things when they're going into whatever situation or deal. A lot of times it's just about knowing.
Exactly.
So so I'm going to ask you the same thing. When you talk about in your business or in your life, you know, the biggest mistake and then the biggest win or thing that you've seen in your company?
The biggest mistake was doing close to 70 events for free.
Oh, wow.
Right? That was probably the biggest mistake. That was my biggest drain. I did learn a lot, made a lot of great connections. It grew me for who I was. But it wasn't a big revenue win for myself, which is fine because your seeds will always come up in other areas. But I would say one of the biggest wins is we did have a major event. We had over 100 paid individuals come out. I had 3 or 4 speakers come out, and we had it video recorded, just everything. And I still utilize that same content today, right, with the different speakers and so forth, which is pretty amazing. And we made money on that event, so that was nice.
That's great. I mean, because, you know,
we had sponsors, we had booths and stuff like that, tables that we sold.
Most definitely, because I mean, even what you were saying, you're still using that content now. One thing I like about when I see Gary Vaynerchuk, he has one event and chops it up like 24 times and like 24 pieces of content.
Right.
And so I think, and he, you know, some of the stuff I'll still see, it'll be like 10 years ago and he'll drop it in something now, you know, just chopping it up with new stuff. So I think that's good that you're not only helping them to have events, but also to produce that content, which I think is, which I think is great. So where do you see, standing, room events in the future? What does that look like?
So that really so the next couple of years I'd love to be able to have standing room events throughout in other areas in the United States, probably like a couple of more states or more. And then I'd like to have somebody that is trained like myself to help consult and lead others in other states, and also bring business in as well.
That's awesome. So how can people find out about you and get in touch with you?
StandingRoomEvents.com, plural.
Standing Room Events.
Yep. It has my phone number, the way to email me, and so forth. If they want to follow me on Instagram, I'm Standing Room Events.
Most definitely. Most definitely. Well, listen, and I know there are some other things. We'll leave that for another time, but I know you have some other good things in place for the future, and I'm excited. And I'm excited for everybody that's come on. I mean, Kenneth, Lisa, listen, it was like, you know, we're already through an hour plus, and it just was bopping from one to the next. So.
Goes by fast.
Goes by fast, yeah.
So if people want to learn more about this show and be a guest, how do they reach out to you, JR?
Yeah, they can reach out to us. You can go to velocityradio.net, or you can head to Business Radio X, and you can go and see under one of the studios there. And we're so excited to be a part of the Business Radio X family. And we're looking forward to doing many great things for many years to come.
All right. Well, great first episode, JR.
Thanks so much.
All right. We'll see you next time on Velocity Radio.